We're joined in the studio to give us their perspectives on this tonight by children's author Shweta Agarwal, also joined by blogger and filmmaker Sergil Semmi. We've got in the studio award-winning contemporary folk singer Kelly Oliver, alongside consultant anaesthetist, director of PR for UK Sepsis Trust and winner of the Asian Woman of Achievement Award in Public Service, Dr. Dhaman Mulli. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming in. It's lovely to meet you all, ladies.
Quite intimidated, to be honest.
I thought
I'm going to have an easy ride here, but those titles are really big.
I guess we should start off with yourself. Would you like us to call you Dr. Mulli or Dhaman?
Dhaman's fine.
Okay. Dhaman, you did receive Asian Woman of Achievement Award in Public Service category. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
What's your perspective this year? You know, International Women's Day, they are really pushing for, and the theme is called Pledging for Parity, bringing that gap between men and women closer to get together. How do you feel in your field of work?
I think we are making progress, but as you say, it's slow progress, and it's really important that we keep it in the agenda. Shows like this, being part of a network like the Asian Women of Achievement, is really important because that's what it encourages. It celebrates women. Without being controversial, I think women are often quite modest about their achievements, particularly in the Asian community.
Is that a cultural thing, do you think? That, you know, they are subconsciously always told, it's all right, just stay quiet. We're going to get you married soon, so you don't need to talk about your degree and what have you. Is it one of those, or just do your job until you get married? That kind of, is that still going on, that kind of thought process, and subconsciously you pick that up?
Certainly that wasn't my experience growing up, but I just wonder if women, we're so used to multitasking, and maybe that's part of the reason we don't.
Right.
I don't know if we necessarily strive for that attention. I don't know how the others feel, but.
And here's the other thing. In your field, when doctors do really well, we heard about it, when these amazing, you know, heart transplants and everything, facelifts and, you know, moving a face off another. Because it happened in India, I think the first true face movement was in India, wasn't it? This young girl who lost her face and then he reconstructed the whole thing. We hear about when those accomplishments happen, but not so much when the women do it. We don't hear all that kind of, let's say, celebration, to my knowledge, of any ladies doing amazing work in the main media, maybe in their field, but not in the main, let's say, the main media when we are watching the BBC and what have you.
I think that we're getting there. I think I was really encouraged to see. I think Canada's in a really exciting place right now. Mm-hmm. Let's see what Justin Trudeau does ultimately with his government. But to have him at the World Economic Forum saying that we should be proud to talk about feminism, men and women should both be feminists, that it's not just what he's teaching his daughter about her values. The really important conversation is the conversation that he will have with his son. How does he see women? How does he see how he's going to treat women in the future.
Now, only a couple of days ago, Gianni Infantino has been elected as the new president for FIFA, at the World Football Governing Body. And I wanted to get your perspective, Sergil, in terms of in his speech, he said he is going to bring more women into the governing body to kind of show the equality there. Do you think in every single aspect we look at, whether it's film, tonight we've got the Oscars, whether it is medicine, whether it is football, women are still being left behind?
I kind of partly agree, kind of in conjunction to what Dhaman had said, that also growing up, I don't think I was ever suppressed to, you know, whatever opportunities I wanted to go for, I was encouraged to go for it.
Brilliant.
But I think coming from a writing background, I focus on social issues impacting predominantly British Asian women, and I document those as well. And what I found was kind of more closer to home is that a lot of these opportunities that we do have to elevate ourselves, we choose not to recognise. And I think because sometimes we don't have that supporting network around us and we don't talk about it enough, which is where I use writing to come in and talk about it. So an example would be last year for International Women's Day, I wrote an article about ageism, and not just about ageism for women who are not married or who don't have children, but actually on the flip side of it, where older women, say they're divorced or they're widowed, they are kind of pressured to succumb to the submissive life because they shouldn't be enjoying themselves. And on the flip side of that, I interviewed a founder of a local women's group who encouraged these types of women to come together and have workshops to break language barriers and to join in these workshops for dance and music. And they put on this amazing show. And I did a video interview with them. And some of these women were not just mums, but they were divorced, they were grandmothers, they were widows, and they were dressed up to the nines. Brilliant. And their message was, why shouldn't we do it? And the problem is that, you know, when you're outsiders kind of looking in, it's like, oh, right, it's, you know, one, brilliant, it's brilliant. Yeah. But actually, would you encourage it within your own family? No.
So it's all right to go out.
It's okay.
As long as it doesn't come into my house.
Exactly.
Right.
It's, it's one of those ones, isn't it, right?
You know, as a spectator, oh, it's great. When we hear these things about, you know, about FIFA, what he said, you know, we look at someone like, I don't know, Hillary Clinton.
Well done.
This is great. This is great.
Exactly. But it, when you bring it closer to home, there's a lot of, are you sure? And I think, especially as women, we can be our own worst enemy.
That's a very good point.
We can be our own worst enemy. So I think it's important for us women closer to home. Are we supporting each other enough?
I just want to bring Shweta in on this just for a moment. You know, as a children's author, do you think it starts at a young age to kind of educate young girls, you know, the importance of equality, the importance of wanting to follow through on what they want to do? What's your perspective?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think it's paramount that irrespective of having a son or a daughter, you educate them equally, you talk to them about issues equally. One of the things that I still remember, and it's kind of stuck with me, was somebody once mentioned to me that you've got a daughter now and, you know, there are certain things that you want to talk to her about, etc. And then 2 years later, I had my son, and then I was asked to fast for my son after Karvacho, a couple of days after. I think there's a fast for your son, but not for daughters. You don't do it for daughters.
Yeah, okay.
And I refused point blank. And I said, if I'm not doing it for my daughter, I'm not doing it for my son. And I did get a frown from my traditional family.
Yes.
Okay.
But I refuse to do it because
I
think
it's breaking the mold, isn't it?
You know? Absolutely, because I think it's unfair, and I don't expect my daughter to do that later on in the future. So why should I do it?
It's funny because when we Lori comes around once a year, right? So and everyone gives Ladoo because they got a son, and now we are supporting Pink Ladoo Day. That no matter what you have, if you got a daughter, you should be giving Ladoo as well. Yeah. But why don't you make them pink? Do you know what I mean? So it's all about equality, and those, like you said, it all starts from when you are born. Subconsciously starts building into you from whatever gender you're in. I'm not having a go at men or women. I'm talking about traditions that are enforced when you know somehow, somewhere in the back, they're not, we know better, right? Like, you know better, but no one would ever challenge him.
But I agree with that, and I sometimes feel that actually women are their own worst enemies.
Exactly.
I just want to bring Kelly in for a moment. Kelly, how old are you?
I'm 25.
You're 25. So you're a young baby. Absolutely.
She hesitated.
She hesitated. Now, from the perspective of music, I wanted to get, you know, your thoughts on this. You tour across the country. You know, you're a singer-songwriter. There's always been a lot of talk about how women are portrayed in music. You know, if we were to look at recent music videos, for example, with Rihanna, if we were to see, you know, we've had
Miley Class.
Exactly. There's so many, Miley Cyrus, many different types of discussions around music. What's your perception as somebody who travels across the country? You know, you're based here, you're a British singer. How do you find, do you feel it's a responsibility for yourself to show the other side of a woman, that you don't have to be dressed in a particular way in music videos to kind of be successful?
By the way, she's not saying that you're ugly.
No, I'm not.
She's absolutely stunning. That you are stunning, okay?
Yes, that's
like
a very good point.
I haven't got a face for radio. I can do music videos, you know. So with that said,
what's your thoughts?
I think there are a lot of singers now that are trying to focus on the music now, and they're trying to steer away from the idea that it's all about their looks. And I think I'm a contemporary folk singer, so folk music is a lot more about the music and not as much about your appearance. And I personally, I mean, I suppose that's what you're saying, your own worst enemy. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I should dumb it down, and I should, you know, maybe, because I want people to listen to my music. I don't want them to, you know, only buy some of my music for my image. But at the same time, you think, wait, am I doing myself a disservice here? Am I going, you know, is that the, you know, you're being prejudiced to yourself in a way? You think, well, actually, no, why shouldn't I dress up and in case somebody judges me. You know, I think people are challenging it every day, actually.
And as someone who tours around the United Kingdom and abroad as well, and you know, you get a lot of attention when you're on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. Do you think that you get a different response from your audience than maybe a male counterpart would?
Yes, I do. I do think that in terms of the industry, actually, and just how it works, I do think still there are some people that kind of treat women differently, I suppose, and maybe not even intentionally. Mm-hmm. I think it's just something that needs to be worked on. And I mean, even in terms of singer-songwriters, there's only, in terms of PRS, which is where you register your songs for your royalties, only 16% are female. The rest are, and I don't know whether that's because women aren't encouraged to create and put their own music out there or not. I mean, it's moving up, but it's slowly moving up, you know.
And when you say we are our own worst enemies, we had Neena Bajwa in last week.
Neeru Bajwa.
She's a Punjabi actress. She is like, you know, the Angelina Jolie of Punjabi cinema. And when she's now produced her own film and it's come out now, and she was put out her poster, she said all her male counterparts posted and supported her. None of the female actresses and producers and directors supported her move. So is this when you're saying that, you know, we are our own worst enemy, we can't even support, you know, our, you know...
I think if you have a sense of...
Come closer to the mic. So
if you have a sense of insecurity about you, I think that, you know, you see other, I guess, more... male and females, but predominantly with females, you know, because we are often molded into like being a homemaker and a wife and a child. And then you see your other female counterparts achieving something that you potentially can't do or don't have the support to do. It's easier to, well, it's not easier, but it's, I guess it's easier to kind of vent out and be negative rather than try and be supportive. You know, if you have an insecurity within yourself, it's a lot easier to just criticize somebody else. Oh, you shouldn't be doing this, shouldn't be doing that. But you won't stop and look that it's actually the issue within. And as women, we should be encouraging and supporting each other. Okay, you know what? I can't do it, but well done. You're speaking on behalf of all of us.
Okay, we're going to continue talking with the ladies and get some of their personal experiences and also find out from them who they feel has been somebody who's been vocal, especially when it comes for women's equality and rights. Give us a call, 020-722-4200, if you'd like to get involved with the discussion right now, though. It is 6:30. Let's get the news headlines with Elaine Park, followed by Traffic and Travel with Fiona McKinnon.
You're listening to Sammy and Shane
on BBC Radio London.
Friday and Saturday nights from 10.
And Sunday evenings from 6.
Welcome back to BBC Radio London. You're listening to Sunny and Shay, and obviously when you get women in room and there's always laughter and there's a lot of talking going on, but as soon as the mics go up, this is what you hear. This is what happens.
Now, if you're tuning into the show, it is 6:34. We are discussing International Women's Day. It's going to be taking place on Tuesday. And this year, the theme for International Women's Day is Pledging for Parity. They want to bridge the gap between gender equality between men and women as much as they possibly can. Now, if you're just tuning into the show, I'll introduce all of our lovely studio guests here. We're joined by Shweta Agarwal, who is a children's author. We also have blogger and filmmaker Sejal Semmi, Kaylee Oliver, who's an award-winning contemporary folk singer, and we've got Dr. Daman Mulhi, who is a consultant anaesthetist, and she also is a winner of the Asian Woman of Achievement Award in public service as well. Now, just before we went to the news, we were getting your personal perspectives, ladies, with regards to gender inequality. I guess for myself, an area that I wanted to focus on today is, where do we go from here? You know, there will be men tuning into Radio London thinking it's the same old argument, it's the same old thing. You know, Sonny, you've heard it. We saw a documentary on
BBC Yates.
Yeah, with Reggie Yates.
Please go and check it out on BBC iPlayer.
Absolutely, where he met, you know, a group of men who feel that we're talking too much about women's issues and not focusing enough on men's issues. So I just wanted to get your kind of wider perspectives on that. Whoever would like to go ahead first, please do.
You're a storyteller, right? When you're writing stories, do you think that you would push an agenda of the female voice in your stories, or do you think the story comes to you? How do you come around your stories for children as well?
For children's books, the characters and the concept that came to me naturally.
Right.
I have to admit, my daughter did ask me, "Mummy, why isn't there a female character in this story?
Right.
Wow.
And it was a question that, you know, when she asked me, I was completely dumbfounded. And I just said, it's got nothing to do with the fact that I am, you know, if you think I'm epitomizing your brother or I've derived the character from your brother a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's just that this is the character that came to my mind instinctively.
You're right.
And it's a difficult question to answer because I think you have to go with your gut and your kind of gut feeling when you're writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that it should matter at that point, whether it's a female character or a male character.
Would it be a commercial thing as well? Because if you're going to tell a story like Dora the Explorer, I think it's done amazingly well, and that's the only female cartoon character I can think of, or a story that I can think of which has this amazing appeal across men, girls, and boys.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about stories about boys, girls will read it. But when it's a story about girls, for girls, men, boys won't read it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So was it a commercial kind of thing as well? Were you thinking, if I write about a female main character, maybe I will miss, I'm missing out half of my audience here?
Yeah. It's a very interesting one because with characters like Dora, it's a universal kind of character.
Yeah.
And you see that. But I think it does appeal to girls more because it's just, you're brainwashed from a very young age. You know, from the time you're born, it's pink, pink, pink for the girls and blue, blue, blue for the boys.
Right.
And even the covers of books and picture books that you see, you'll see kind of like the football fiend and, you know, without mentioning any names, for boys versus girls, you'll see
princesses and fairies and princesses and
the fairy tales and the likes of those kind of titles. So I think there's definitely something that needs to be done here where you've kind of, you know, you need to have that crossover.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. And one thing that I found with Devon Ollie, in fact, is that even though it's a male character, it seems to be appealing more to girls.
Wow.
Is he sexy? I'm just saying, I'm not being stereotypical. Because trust me, I'll pick up a book if it's a sexy woman on it, right? It's nothing. What is the appeal? Is it some, you know?
I'm not sure. Maybe because boys are brainwashed that it needs to be very boyish, the character.
Right.
Whereas he's not so boyish. He's just very cute and cheeky and curious. A bit clumsy, but he's... I can't pinpoint, I can't put a finger on it. What
here's
it is.
The thing, you're the author.
It seems to be appealing to girls as well,
which brilliant. Is
fantastic.
It is, yeah.
There's definitely something that needs to be done here, I think.
There you go.
Daman, what's your perspective on all of this?
Well, I think it's really important we still have this conversation because there is a reason. If you look at politics, you look at the cabinet, you look at senior FTSE companies, there are still so few women.
Mm.
There may not be active barriers, that there's some reason why women aren't able to, are we not providing the right working conditions for them? Is there not the support for the children? So until that conversation happens and we visibly see that parity, it's still important. And I think the important thing about feminism is it's not saying that women are in any way superior. It's about equality. It's nothing for you guys to feel threatened
about.
Now,
right. The thing is that when you say feminist, right, everyone starts thinking, back when feminism started, let's burn our bras and all that kind of stuff. Why are you doing that? Don't do that.
Yeah.
You don't need to. You can still be a feminist and have a bra, right?
Yeah.
And here's the other thing is the conversations that we're having are different today as opposed to back then, because I think you have achieved some, only about 5% of what you asked for then.
Yeah.
But we are on a different footing now where women have got a voice and they have got this unity now if they use it. Now, before we went to the news and travel, you said there's not enough support from our gender for our gender, right?
Yeah.
So is it more of a female issue as opposed to a feminine issue? Does that make sense? Well, I'm coming
from.
So it's like men get it. You guys should get equality and it's taking time. And the date she gave was ridiculous. I'm hoping we can get to this equality a lot sooner. But if the men are doing what they're doing and they're bigging themselves up, oh, look at that man, he's doing very well and I'm supporting him and he's supporting me, happy days, but the women aren't doing it, then do you think the conversation needs to be had within the gender itself as opposed to...
Within women, is
within,
what you're saying.
Yeah, without just talking about men and they're keeping us down sort of thing and having this camaraderie with women.
I think it's both, actually, because if you talk about... what feminism was then and now it's different. The reason it is different is because women today, especially of our age, we have a lot more options, okay?
Yes.
People are getting married later.
Yep.
People are having babies later. mainly because, you know, science has changed. We have more options. We've got IVF. Some people don't want to have children, mm-hmm. and that's fine. It's absolutely their choice. So our options are changing. We have more opportunities. We have, you know, we're in a world of the internet where mm-hmm. we can say something and put it up on social media, put it up on a blog spot, which is how I started writing and I got approached. So we have all of those platforms there. But there's that generation gap, because talking from as a South Asian person, my family who came over here, they didn't have those opportunities that I did.
Still don't, do
right?
They? Some of the people Some are still of the, coming over. Yeah, yeah.
So there's that understanding, bridging that gap. How do you bridge that gap and understand it?
Mm-hmm.
So I made a documentary on my grandmother and my mum.
Right.
And my grandmother was married off to a guy that she'd never met before, 17. And she raised 7 children, worked all her life. And she came over to this country and she was widowed at such a young age, and it did not stop her from making sure that her sons and her daughters were given, and her daughter-in-laws were given, exactly the same opportunities.
Wow.
Because, and she said it on camera, she said, right, it doesn't matter who you're related to, at the end of the day, you've got to feed your stomach. And she goes, I don't want my daughter or my son or my daughter-in-law having to go through what I went through. And for her to say that on camera was a massive deal. An 81-year-old woman who doesn't speak English, and, you know, subtitling that position.
But it does show as well that, you know, times are changing, which is a good thing. Dhiman, I know you want to come in. Before you do, Kelly, you've been listening to this from a perspective of a young woman, and also you're not South Asian. Do you think that there are particular things that affect women as a whole? It doesn't matter about our backgrounds. You know, we could be South Asian, we could be Asian, we could be black, we could be white. It doesn't really matter. But if we are women, we get that. Or do you think actually the cultural aspects do have different things to play? What's your thoughts on that?
I think there is a difference between like your cultural background, actually. I mean, my mum is Anglo-Indian.
Right.
So I do have, you know, I kind of know the idea of my grandparents coming over. And like my grandfather was actually head of the railway in India, and he came over for his 5 sons because he knew that there would be a better opportunity for them in England. But he suffered. So they did better, but he suffered. And I think... I don't know. That makes me think that actually there are men that are trying to strive to help women out. And it's just a question of making sure that we unite, actually, yeah, as women as well. Because what you were saying about there's something on Instagram. There's a lot of blogs with women, and a lot of them are women kind of making fun of other women in how they look, or just,
we can be really evil, can't we?
And I don't think boys are like that, actually. And
we can be bullies. Everything,
we get jealous and we want to compete, right? Yeah. So someone got a 6-pack, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go to Istanbul and go and get a 6-pack. I'm not going to do it like you. So I'll see how I can do it in short. I know, you make a face, but seriously, you can get a 6-pack in half the time and keep it for life.
You have like fairness creams out there.
For men as well?
For women and men.
It's happening.
It's ridiculous. I was like, well, how are you, you know, helping or supporting your own gender by saying, if you look fairer,
you'll be better off.
I didn't stop you. I know you wanted to say something. Just say, tell us very quickly before we go to travel, what was your thought?
I just think that things are changing, even in India. I mean, India's changed so much. The economy's imploded. Women are now going out to work. So the society norms have to change. And I saw a really encouraging ad in India for a washing up powder.
Right.
And the hashtag is share the load. And it's a grandfather.
Get the men.
Yeah, saying, I wish I'd taught. He's like, I'm really proud of my daughter, but I wish I'd taught differently. I wish I'd taught her. She didn't have to do all this. Her husband doesn't have to sit on the sofa while she's running around doing all this stuff. And that's really encouraging to see it as a mass big national advert in India.
Just but hold that thought, Shweta, because we're going to go to the travel, and I know we've got a lot of kind of juices flowing in terms of what we're talking about. If you're tuning into the show, give us a call on 020-722-4200 is the number to dial tonight. If you'd like to tweet, it is at Sunny and Shay and at BBC Radio London. Right now though, 6:45, let's get the traffic and travel with Fiona McKinnon. Thank you so much, Fiona. The time now is 6:46. Sunny and Shay here on BBC Radio London. We are joined by some fantastic panellists in the studio. They're all women, which is what I love. Sunny is outnumbered today. Folkstock on Twitter says...
In a good way.
Yes.
You're loving it.
I love it. I don't have men's Independence Day. See, have we getting bitter now? You see me getting bitter now, right?
Folkstock on Twitter says, Sunny and Shay, what a wealth of achievement in this one photo. If you go to Twitter at BBC Radio London, you can see all of our fantastic guests. We've got Shweta Agarwal, who's a children's children's author, Sejal Semmi, blogger and filmmaker, Kelly Oliver, who's an award-winning contemporary folk singer, alongside Dr. Dhamanmal, who is a consultant and director of PR for UK Sepsis Trust.
Shweta, before we went to the travel, yes. You wanted to just quickly make a point on what
yes,
we were talking about.
If you don't mind, I'm just going to throw a spanner in the works.
Oh, please.
Because I
wouldn't expect women to do that. But yeah. I can make some jokes. Go ahead, carry on.
Because I feel that while we're talking about women's achievements, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the corporate world or in the working world as such. Mm-hmm. And it's not all about going out there 9 to 5 or banking hours or in medicine or anything. I feel that what really needs to be appreciated is also women who don't work yet give up or sacrifice their life, whether it's for their family or for their children, silently doing it. Mm. I know friends who are Harvard graduates who have given up their careers, high-flying careers for their children, very happy, bringing up lovely kids. But I feel that a lot of people don't value that enough. Mm.
I'm glad you said it, because if I had said that, they were like, you're just trying to keep us in the house, right? Because my mum is the most important woman in my life, and my wife. Mm. And basically, my mum she's an amazing, intelligent woman. But she looked after me and my brother, and she continues to do so today. Even though she's got a broken leg at the moment, she was ready to cook me some food before I went out. So I was okay, because I was. And that in itself is a rewarding thing.
Absolutely.
And you can't take away from all those amazing women who are at home looking after. And that in itself is a full-time job, which no one gets any gratification for.
Because it's assumed that it's just expected out
of you. Thank you very much. Yes.
You're a woman, you should be doing that. Yes. Now, we've been asking you to get in touch with the show tonight, 020-722-4-2000. Tuesday is International Women's Day. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and we've just said, you know, if there's someone in your life, if it's a woman, you want to say how great they're doing, then this is a show to do it on. Give us a call, 020-722-4-2000. We've got Isabel in Bayswater on the line. Good evening, Isabel.
Good evening. Very good program. I think it's important to talk about the women in all their life, because it's for me it's the most important thing, especially when you are young. Unfortunately, my mother died when I have 2-year-old, and when I have my children, a tragedy happened in my country, 11th of September 73, and I was taken to the prison. But the only thing keep me going, it was just to think in my 2 daughters, the 2 little girls left in my home. And when I left the prison, my little girls, it wasn't at home, because my friend, which a doctor, they said, we have to introduce it slowly to you, because it's a shock for them without the mother and then the mother there. They grow up so brave and so intelligent. Both of them, one is called Marianella and the other one is called Patricia. And in my life, I work very hard. But they always, when I was upset or sad, they knew when I was upset or sad. They said, Mommy, you remember what you said to me? And always have to say the good things and think positive, Mommy. It was so 5-year-old and 7-year-old. And I just, they keep me going.
I think it's absolutely beautiful, Isabel. And you want to celebrate your 2 daughters. Tell me their names again.
Marianella, like Maria.
Yeah, Marianella and...
Patricia.
I think they sound like fantastic daughters who have been there for you. I think it's such a beautiful thing to have 2 daughters who have supported you from even 5 years old. That's fantastic.
I want to say that, you know, the story that you just told us, I mean, like, people don't live like that anymore.
Yes.
But there's certain parts of the world where this is happening.
Exactly.
So thank you for sharing your story. And you are an amazing woman yourself, seriously, to go through all that and then bring up 2 amazing, I think, women, like, you know, your 2 daughters is amazing. Thank you for getting in touch.
It's lovely talking to you, Isabel, and thank you so much for sharing your personal story, my love.
Thank you very much.
You take care, Isabel. If you'd like to give us a call tonight, 020-722-4-2000. Isabel in Bayswater, they're saying it's very important to celebrate women and their achievements, and she wants to say that her beautiful daughters Marianella and Patricia have been there for her. If you want to do the same, this is a show to do it on, 020-722-4-2000.
Kelly, you have a degree. right?
I do.
And your family must have thought, right, she's at university, she's going to get a degree. When she comes out, she's going to get a decent job, and we can, even better,
a decent job
so that we could get married off, right? That was the plan in your parents' head at that time, right? But you came out and said, I'm going to go and travel. So you went to Brazil.
Yeah.
And now no one from your family goes to Brazil just in case they start becoming singers. Right? So what was the thought process and how did your family support that decision you made? You know, because you've done an amazing job. You got yourself a decent degree and a really good degree, sorry. And then you said, I've got that as a backup. So how did they take to you and would they have reacted to you differently if you were a male?
I have a twin brother, actually.
Right. And he's not a singer, is he?
No, he's not. And actually, they treat us both the same. And they were really supportive all throughout my life. And I think they just, they did say that they wanted to support me because they don't want me to have the same life that they had. They want me to do something that I want to do and want to progress in, and they've supported me throughout. So yeah, I have parents like you that support. And
and what about the extended family? Do they feel, and then they tell your parents, seriously, is there any work? How can you make money from that these days? And they're probably advising, and I'm sure it comes from a place of concern. But then, you know, your family, what they do is defend you.
Yeah, and I think people always will say, I guess people always pass their opinions on and stuff, but I think it's for your own personal journey, and it's like, you know, my parents made the decision to support me, and I think they will continue as long as they feel that they want to. So hopefully you always will.
Yeah, and I think it's fantastic.
Please keep supporting her, she's amazing.
Now, you know, earlier on you did mention the fact that there are the unsung heroes, and I decided to get a list, especially wanted to focus for a moment on the South Asian women, you know, the women who are bold enough to have done things differently. Women like Suhasini Mule, who got married when she was at the right time. She waited. She was 60 years old and then she decided, as opposed to doing it when the whole rest of the world has been telling her to do it. It's a fantastic actress, Nandita Das. Of course, you remember her from the film Fire and Earth. And she's had her own campaign, Dark is Beautiful. She's literally campaigning across India, trying to get rid of those particular facial creams that you were talking about earlier on. Also, Sushmita Sen, we talk about beauty. Now, here's a woman who won Miss Universe, age 25, decided, I don't need to get married. She adopted two daughters and has been a mother to them ever since. I think there's a lot of women out there that we often, you know, we may see them on the TV, on the news, but we don't realise some of the fantastic work that they're doing. I just finally wanted to ask, because time is against us, unfortunately, who are those women for you, ladies? Who are those women, perhaps even in your personal lives, like Isabel was saying, or internationally? If we could get those from you. Dhamman, go ahead.
Well, for me, the charity I work with, working with some bereaved mothers who somehow turn the pain of their grief into campaigning so that no other family loses a child, continually humbled and inspired by someone who can just pick themselves up when they're on the floor and turn it into something positive.
Could you please tell us the name of the charity and if anyone's listening?
Yeah, they can get in touch.
Yeah, it's a sepsis trust, and people may have heard of the old term, which is septicemia. And sepsis is the body's abnormal response to infection. There was a lot of press last month about a one-year-old that died, William Mead.
Yeah.
It's his mum, actually, Melissa. Okay. She is literally the most inspiring woman, that she just doesn't want any other family to lose their one-year-old.
Wow.
So really, a lot of what our charity does, is the biggest thing is to raise awareness, to empower parents, doctors, so that people don't die needlessly.
So it's Sepsis Trust UK, is
the UK Sepsis Trust.
Right, fantastic. Yeah. And for yourself, Sejal, who's?
I think hands down, my grandmother and my mum. I think I'm really blessed to have had two extremely strong women in my family. And they've always encouraged me to follow my dreams and treated me, I've been treated equally as all my male cousins. And I think especially my grandmother, whose way of thinking has changed over the past few years because personally of what she has experienced, she's realised how important it is for a woman to hold her own identity. And I have a huge amount of respect for them too, that they allowed me to document that and share that into big world, knowing how much they would be criticised.
Where can we see it if we want to see the documentary?
It's on my website, www.sejalsamy.com.
Brilliant.
Under the section Evolution of the British Indian Women.
Oh, and, I like that.
Also, we're going to put up all your Twitter and Facebook handles, but what is it if you want to just quickly share that with us as well? You can start first, Dale.
I'm on Twitter at dmully, and the charity is sepsistrust.org.
And for yourself?
I'm at Sejal_thefilm.
Fantastic. And who's that inspirational woman for you then?
I would have to say my mother as well.
Yeah.
While I was growing, but when I was growing up and living in Japan, Japan is quite a the society is very much like an Indian kind of society.
Okay,
the setup is very, very, you know, that way.
Yeah.
Inclined. And females and women are not, they're subservient, basically. Mm. They're not meant to, you know, kind of inspired, what's the word? Sorry, I've lost my chain of thoughts now. Mm. But even then, in Japan, growing up there, I found my mother working extremely, extremely hard, and not in a job, but as a housewife. Mm-hmm. And what she did, and how she didn't even know how to speak English, because she went to a Hindi college in India, but yet she kind of taught herself Japanese.
Wow.
And speaks Japanese better than English.
That's fantastic.
Come on.
Yeah.
And,
fantastic.
And her and I went through a lot of turmoil in my teenage years, and you know, personality clashes.
You're
and
a female,
that.
Right?
So we all do. We all
do. Yeah, and it happens to us all.
Even then,
I'm saying
as well.
That, no, seriously, even I think it is something that is, because I think ladies are more inclined to be with their dads.
With
I
their
think.
Dads, yes.
Yeah,
it's not.
It's not just a stereotype. No. It happens that way. My sister loves my dad.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yes,
exactly.
I'm
a daddy's girl.
She's daddy's girl. Yeah,
exactly. I was a daddy's girl, and now I have found that actually my mother is the one who inspired me the
most.
That
is beautiful.
Wow. And she was the one who pushed me to say, you need to do this. If you're consumed by this, you need to do this. And do it by yourself.
Fantastic.
Don't wait for a publisher.
Anyone, yeah.
That's what
do
I
it.
Like. And it's on Twitter, it's at Dev and Ollie. And just finally, very quickly, Kelly, for yourself, who's that person for you?
I'm going to say Malala Yousafzai.
Yes, Malala, yes. Absolutely.
She won a Nobel Peace Prize, a Nobel Youth Peace Prize. She campaigns for education for females.
Yeah.
And she made Time Magazine's most influential teenager, or one of the most influential teenagers of 2015 and 16.
Fantastic.
Yes, very humbling.
Well,
sure.
Listen, I agree with you on that. Malala Yousafzai is who I would have said. Ladies, thank you for joining
us. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All inspirational women yourselves. We've posted a picture up on Twitter at BBC Radio London.